As you decide to be rebuilt, you decide to follow the Lord rightly, you're going to have opposition. You're going to have those same things happening spiritually, in a sense, to thwart you from being in the Word of God and from responding to the Word of God. So yes, we're going to see how we're restored, but we must not forget that there is opposition.
Thanks for joining us for this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we embark on a look at an incredibly important passage where we'll begin to see how to be spiritually restored.
Yes, we will, Dave. And in this time of faux revival centered on music and worship rather than the word being preached, Nehemiah chapter 8 gives us a wonderful picture of how those with their spiritual walls broken down are restored. Would you turn with us in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8 as we begin?
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, throughout Scripture, God likens us, the body of Christ, to a building built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the Word of God, with ultimately built on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And we're a building that is being built up, 1 Peter chapter 2, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. He's changing us, that what we do would be that which is pleasing to Him. And this building is being built, in a sense, one brick upon another as God's Word works in our lives. And so I want to ask the question, what is the condition of God's building, speaking of you? What is the condition of His building project as He builds you up into the image of His Son? Are you being built up? Is it getting, being more and more like Christ? Or has your building fallen over? Is it in a shambles? Are the walls broken down? Are the doors of self-control wide open? Are the gates burned? What's the condition of His building in you? Well, today we're going to see how to be restored spiritually when our building is not doing so well, when things have fallen over, when we've neglected our relationship with Christ, whatever it might be. And these things not only apply to those who need to be restored, they also apply to those who are walking with the Lord Jesus. So with that in mind, we're going to look at the people's example of how to be restored to the Lord. Begin to look at that today. So would you turn your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8? And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6 today. Now, as we've been studying the book of Nehemiah, we have seen that Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king of Persia, the superpower of the day. And he was in a very important position, and God had raised him up, in essence, as we will see, for a specific task. Indeed, Nehemiah hears of the conditions of what is happening in Jerusalem and the walls being rubble and the doors and the gates burned down and how the people are not doing well there. And he hears about that, and it brings him to his knees in prayer, and he prays for 4 months, basically. He fasts and prays. He's concerned. He weeps over it. And eventually, it appears that Nehemiah realizes that he is the one that God has chosen to help them out. And he prays again that God would grant him favor as he comes before the king. And he does make his requests. He is prepared, his request to go rebuild the walls, to go to Jerusalem, to go to do this task. And he is wise in how he does so. He gets permission and letters. He gets letters for the king's force to get the supplies he needs. And he does arrive in Jerusalem, but immediately we see there's opposition. Tobiah and Sanballat, those evil men, hear about it. And it is a great evil to them that someone would come to help the Jews. And so we see that he does come, and he looks around, and he scouts out what is needed. He doesn't tell anybody wisely. He scouts out and sees what's needed. And he goes to the people. He shares how God's good hand has been upon him. And within that, he encourages the people to arise and build. And they do. And we see then a summary in chapter 3 of how everyone works together to build this wall, to build it up. And they do. But then we come to chapters 4 through 6, where we see and gain insight into the opposition that has formed satanically through men to thwart the Israelites, to cause them to be discouraged, to give up on the work. And we see that, first of all, they were ridiculed, and then they were threatened. They were tempted to fear. He was tempted to sin. All these different plots and plans by the evil one through those evil men. But Nehemiah kept turning to the Lord, and God was gracious to deliver them. And we're going to see kind of in parallel, and we have to remember this, because this book, the first section, which is the rebuilding of the wall, the second section is the rebuilding of the people. We're going to see as we get to the second section, we must not forget the first section, because it was littered with opposition. And as you decide to be rebuilt, you decide to follow the Lord rightly, you're going to have opposition. You're going to have those same things happening spiritually, in a sense, to thwart you from being in the Word of God and from responding to the Word of God. So yes, we're going to see how we're restored, but we must not forget that there is opposition, and how Nehemiah and the Israelites had victory over the opposition by trusting the Lord and working, not giving up, but trusting. Everything's going to tempt you to give up on becoming more like Christ, because as you start, all hell breaks loose as you get determined to be in the Word, whatever it might be, determined to obey. But we need to remember to keep working, to keep letting God build us up, as we will say. And so then we came to chapter 7, where just after chapter 6, the walls had been built successfully, 52 days, amazingly, that God, through Nehemiah and the people, had accomplished the task. And so we came to chapter 7, where Nehemiah, within a few days of the wall being completed, appoints leaders for Jerusalem. And he makes these statements concerning that Jerusalem was vast, and but yet there were not many people there and not many people living in houses there. And the implication was there needed to be Jews in that city, which now had the walls rebuilt, the Lord's city. And so he was prompted by the Lord to look at the genealogies of those who had originally came. And we saw that in the rest of Nehemiah chapter 7. And now we move to Nehemiah chapter 8, where we're going to see specifically how the Lord restores his people. Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're going to see through the example of these people, and we'll just start to take a look at it today. Nehemiah chapter 8, and all the people were gathered as one man at the square, which was in the front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding. Remember that, by the way. On the first day of the seventh month, and he read from it before the square which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, again that phrase, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood at a wooden podium which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattaniah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah at his right hand, and Pedadiah, Mishael, Malchiah, Hashem, and Hashbadanah, and Zechariah, and Meshulam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting their hands. Then they bowed down low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now that's what we're going to look at today, but I want to read past this just for context for us to up to verse 12. Also, Yeshua, Bani, Sarabiah, Jamin, Akpub, Safbethai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Zozabad, Hanan, Palaliah, and the Levites explained the law to the people while the people remained in their place. And they read from the book, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. Note that. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught, notice that, the people said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went away to eat, to drink, to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, or literally a great joy. That's really a better translation, a great joy, because they had understood the words which had been made known to them. Do you see a theme here? Certainly do. Understanding the truth, understanding, as we'll see later on, responding and then doing what God wants them to do. So as we begin here, we see that Nehemiah turns to the spiritual rebuilding of the people. And so how is this done? Well, we're going to see it is through God, through his word, rebuilding us, that we would be those who glorify him. But how are we restored? Notice from their example, the first thing that we're going to see, we must have a desire to be taught the word and then gather together. And we must have a desire to be taught the word from those who God has ordained to teach it to us, as we will see. Verse 1, and all the people gathered as one man in the square, which was in the front of the water gate. And they asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Now, it's important to realize that in the end of chapter 7, the very second half of verse 73 really should go with this portion here. It really should. I mean, it should be the first part of actually chapter 8. And remember, the verse numbers are not inspired. They were added in later, and what a blessing. They're a convenience for us to try and find where the scriptures are at, but they were added in. They're not inspired. Notice in the second half of verse 73, and when the seventh month came, the sons of Israel were in their cities. We're going to see underlying the restoration for these people is the reality that they were to be living in Israel. And in chapter 11, we're going to see that after they're restored, they come back and they volunteer and they decide who's going to live there. They're doing the right thing, okay? And so this restoration happens in between this portion here. We know that Jerusalem was empty and unpopulated, as we saw. We know that in chapter 6 verse 15, the wall was completed on the 25th of the sixth month. Now, the Jewish calendar days are 30 days. We see some 29, but 30. And so just a few days from that, and if you look at verse 2, it says it on the first day of the seventh month, chapter 8. So this is only a few days after the wall has been completed that these Jews are calling for Ezra to bring the word of God. They're calling for him. It's just a few days after they have successfully, by God's grace, completed the physical wall. And again, it's interesting, you know, right here it says, and all the people gathered as one man at the square which was in front of the water gate. Now, you might remember when Nehemiah took his tour, we talked about the different gates as we walked around them as he took his tour. The water gate is on the east side of the city, and it's quite interesting, the water gate, symbolic maybe for the washing of the water of the word, by the way, certainly possible, but we have a square in front of that, an area where people can gather. And that's what we see here in the square, which was in front of the water gate. Now, this is the first day of the seventh month. And you might say, well, why are they gathering this day? Why are they calling for Ezra? Well, you might say, well, that's the first day of the seventh month. Leviticus 23:24 says, on the first day, you're to blow trumpets and have a solemn assembly. It's the feast or festival of trumpets. And it's quite possible that's the reason they assembled. But I'm under the impression in the context that that's not the reason why they assembled. Because we're going to see later on, they weren't even aware of the Feast of Booths, which should happen on the 15th of that month, until they read the scripture. And then they said, wow, we got to do this. So I think they were gathering simply because they were thankful for God completing the wall. They were thankful and God had moved in their hearts. And they were gathering. And it wasn't as though the priests came and said, now we're blowing the trumpets, let's gather together and we're going to read the word. No, they called for Ezra to bring the word. They were calling him to bring the word. So that's my thought. I'm not sure exactly why they gathered there, but certainly we see they gathered because they wanted to hear the word of God. It says, and all the people gathered as one man at the square, which is for the water gate. And it's so important. And what did they do? And they, middle of verse 1, asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. They're the ones asking. It doesn't say Ezra came and when the trumpets blew and read the word. No, it says here they asked. They gathered and they asked. God is moving in them, and that's the first thing. When you need to be restored, God has to move in you. There needs to be a conviction that things aren't right, that I need the Word of God, as we're going to see. I need the Word of God. I may not be there. I still don't feel like things are right, but I need God's Word. And as believers, there needs to be that conviction. There needs to be that yearning for God's Word. Indeed, 1 Peter chapter 2, we are to yearn for the pure milk of the Word that we may grow in respect to salvation. We also see in Psalm 1, the blessed man. Psalm 1 was already written by this time. The blessed man meditates in the word day and night. Psalm 1. And so the first most important thing concerning spiritual restoration is you need to have a desire to get to the right place, which is to get into the word of God, to get into the word of God. And they did. They asked Ezra to get the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to them, right? The law of Moses. Let me read that exactly. It says here, they asked for Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which he had given to them, which the Lord had given to them. God had given them the word. Now, what's the book of the law of Moses? Well, that's what we call the Pentateuch, and that means five. It's the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And it is the Lord who gave that to Israel. He gave physically the laws we saw in Sinai, but he also gave through Moses, Genesis, and these other books that Moses wrote inspired by the Spirit. God gave it to them. When someone says, oh, that's just what Moses wrote. Well, no, God gave it to him. God gave them his word. We see that in this passage. This passage proves that God's word, at least the first five books we see later on in 2 Timothy, all scriptures inspired, but these first five books are God's word, which he gave. And so then he says here that the Lord had given. And so they were gathered together and they're calling for Ezra to bring the word of God. So who is this Ezra person? Who is Ezra? Well, first of all, he was a priest, verse 2. And we'll see, verse 1, he was a scribe. The term scribe in general spoke of a distinguished professional, in a sense, one who performed duties that might be associated with lawyers or the government or taking notes, whatever that might be, a scribe. It makes sense, like, you know, someone who scribes things or whatever it might be. But concerning religiously, it came to speak of someone who was an expert in the law of God, an expert in the law of God. And some 14 years earlier, we see that Ezra was granted permission by King Artaxerxes, and he brought 2,000 or so with their families to Jerusalem, along with treasures to fill the temple that they had received from King Artaxerxes, and also with the authority to establish the law and the scripture as their authority. And that happened 14 years earlier. Turn to Ezra 7, chapter 7. And again, I mentioned this during our service earlier, but that the book of Ezra, the first six chapters, are about the first return of the Israelites from Babylon, which has to do with parallel portion with Haggai. And then later on, we see here, this is the second return, which was 13 years earlier than when Nehemiah came, now 14 years here or so. Ezra chapter 7, let's take a look at verse 6. Then Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a scribe, notice what it says, skilled in the law of Moses, skilled in God's word, which the Lord God of Israel had given. Again, inspired by God. God gave it, and the king granted him all he requested because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. Isn't that great? That is so great. And some of the sons of Israel and some of the priests and Levites and singers and gatekeepers and the temple servants went up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which is in the seventh year of the king. We're going to see these Levites later on teaching the word of God, too. We're going to see this group Ezra's hanging out with. It's a good group, okay? He's a priest with the Levites, those who are going to teach the word of God. And then look at verse 9. For on the first day of the month, he began to go up from Babylon. On the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem. That's 5 months, right? Because the good hand of his God was upon him. This is going to tell you about Ezra. Ezra makes their quest to do what's right, to go to Jerusalem, to reestablish the temple in a sense. You know, the temple had been rebuilt, but it wasn't functioning the way it should. And Ezra, with a desire for God's glory, as we're going to see, desires to go, and God granted that. And then notice here, he made it because the good hand of his God was upon him, but he's going to explain even why God's good hand was on Ezra. This is wonderful. For Ezra had set his heart. You know, we have a choice to set our hearts on all sorts of things. Sometimes we're very loosey-goosey with things. We don't really set our heart on it. Maybe that's with church, maybe with the Bible study, maybe with prayer. Or we set our hearts to do something. Ezra had set his heart to what? First of all, study the law of the Lord. Notice it is the law of the Lord. It's God's law. We like to say the law of Moses. Well, no, it's not Moses' law. God used Moses to bring it. God brought it forth on the mountain also, but he also had Moses write. It is the law of the Lord. It is the Lord, Yahweh, the self-existent one. It is his word to study it. That doesn't mean just to read it simply. That means to study. Think about if you're in school, you're studying things. You're really analyzing. You're studying it. And notice what he says, really important, and to practice it. That means to do. He set his heart to study God's word and to do it. To study it and to do it. And then notice what he says here. And to teach his, that's God's, statutes, that's the Lord's statutes, and ordinances to Israel. He had set his heart to do this. This is Ezra. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. He is a scribe. He is one. And oh, what an encouragement this must have been for Ezra. 14 years go by, not much spiritual activity. The people are just as broken down as the walls. And not much going on, not much response to the Word of God as we see. And all of a sudden, they're calling for Ezra for the Word of God. 14 years. And Ezra's ready. He had set his heart to do this. And praise the Lord. And this is an encouragement for you pastors out there who have been preaching and teaching in season and out of season. And there's not much response. But when God moves and he calls, just be patient. Trust him. Preach the word in season and out of season. And what an encouragement this must have been for Ezra. They're asking for the word of God. Ezra, bring the word. Wow, that's amazing. So here we see a tremendous reality. The people want to hear the word of God. And this is where spiritual restoration begins. A genuine desire to hear God's word. Not to hear some fancy preacher that tickles your fancy, but to hear God's word. And as we will see, from God's teachers, not from ones you accumulate from your own desires. From those who will teach his word, preach his word, those who are faithful to it as Ezra is. And they call the right guy. They don't call someone else. They call Ezra. He's the guy. And praise the Lord to bring the word. And this is where we start. It all begins with God's word. Now, you're never going to be built up. You're never going to be restored spiritually until you have a desire for the word of God.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today we've seen a very important first step to spiritual restoration.
Yes, we have, Dave, and that first step is the desire to hear the Word of God in the context of genuine repentance. And what a blessing to see these Jews desiring to hear the Word. Well, how about you? Are your spiritual walls broken down? Do you need to be restored? Then confess your sin and yearn for His Word. Well, we've just begun our passage, so join us for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.